we find ourselves journeying back to the first century in Ephesus. We go back to that early church struggling to exist and to coexist in that community. But first, let's pray. God who is over us, God who surrounds us, and God who is within us, may the words of my mouth this morning and the meditation of every heart in this place be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The writer of this letter to the church in Ephesus is using some very common imagery today, and that imagery is of a Roman soldier. We see in this writing that there is a familiarity with Rome's presence in Ephesus and in the omnipresence of the Roman soldier, which was there ostensibly to protect, but really to make sure that everything went exactly as Rome desired. We see the writer going piece by piece through the physical protection of these soldiers. He mentions the baltis, the belt, which held everything together. It went around the tunic. It connected to the baldric, which was the strap that went over the shoulder to hold the sword on the right hip. The belt was necessary not just for looks, but to make sure that movement could take place around all this other equipment. It held it all together. He also talks about the lorica segmentata, which is scale armor, the breastplate. And that is in the times of the first century, were strips of metal horizontally connected with leather in between to be able to protect the torso from attacks by sword or arrow or spear. And it was heavy stuff. When people put on their armor, it was done over a lot of time. It wasn't something where you just threw a shirt over your head and out you went. And it was heavy. But the protection that it provided was well worth the cost and the weight that the soldier had to bear. Also talks about the caligae, or the shoes, the heavy shoes, that you've probably seen them, very thick soles, and then sandal-like tops that were worn up into the calf to make sure that they didn't get separated from the soldier. When they were on rough terrain or going through muddy terrain, it was connected directly to them. Why did they wear this? To be able to travel. The Roman army was mobile. It didn't just sit in garrison all the time. It was on the road, moving in and through places. They wanted the army to be present throughout the empire so that folks would know that Rome was always with them. Now, for many, that was a comforting thing. For many others, it was a direct threat. So remember that when we think about why we need to wear protection. The scutum was the shield, and this had developed over time. Originally, in the early days of the Republic, the Roman Republic, they had been using light infantry tactics like the Greeks did, the hoplites. And they were very light, they moved very quickly, but they realized that as they faced larger numbers of enemies, they had to get a little heavier in their armor. They had to wear a little more. And so the shields went from the circular shield that we kind of remember were like the Greeks into this rectangular shield. And there was a real method behind this shield. You may not know this, but those shields were the size of the shoulder plus a third on each side to be able to overlap and cover the person next to you. So those shields formed a barrier between whatever the threat was and those who were standing with the shields before them. The galia, or the helmet, was what protected the head, but not only the head, the entire face, and in many cases across the front, with the eyes just being open. And also in the back, they had oftentimes a duck tail back there, which was to protect the neck against strikes or arrows. And again, these were quite heavy. These were metal. These were not light. But the protection was worth the cost. And then there was the gladius, the short sword that was common with infantry troops. You see, the Romans fought what's called in depth. They had the ability to strike at a distance using spears or arrows. They could use fire, but when it got in close, they had a short sword that they used. Now, many of you may have heard of gladiators, right? But what they were using were these gladii, these short swords. That was really what had come from the infantry in the Roman armies. And I was thinking as I was going through all of this, what would that be like today? Because frankly, we don't see many Roman soldiers marching down the streets of Mount Airy. Thank God. So what would it be like? And I really thought about something that I spent many years of my life doing, and that's football. And I was kind of watching the Bears on TV yesterday. And full disclosure, I'm a Chicago Bear fan. I am. I know some of you are groaning. I'm sorry. But I understand we are not of one accord in this sanctuary when it comes to things NFL. I understand that some of us may like burgundy and some of us may like purple. And I heard this morning that there are even those who like black from up the road. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers. No, I know. I was like, say it ain't so. You know, I was thinking maybe one Sunday what we all had to do is wear jerseys and take a look at how we could all come into this place wearing different colors and yet worship the same God. Maybe that'll preach. So I think about football, and I think about wearing all of that protective equipment, and I think even about some of the specifics of it. I think about the helmet, which has evolved so much from the days, well, they were leather when I played, I think, weren't they, Jason, I think, back in the day. But these helmets are becoming more and more sophisticated because we're finding out that concussions happen far more frequently than we realized. And I got my, we used to, matter of fact, it was so common that we just used to call it getting your bell rung. And I can't tell you how many times I had my bell rung, although you probably can tell. But what they're trying to do now is to design the helmet so that it is less susceptible to get a concussion. And it made me think that even though we wear those helmets, we are still susceptible to spiritual concussions. In using this idea of armor, the armor can't protect us from everything, can it? And I'm thinking about some of the spiritual concussions that I may have had in my life, where I'm just fuzzy and foggy, and it feels like I can't move, and when I do, I'm going in the wrong direction. And I think that nowadays, we go through periods of spiritual concussion, but we still need to protect ourselves. The writer talks about why we need to protect ourselves. Armor protects us, says the writer, against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Spiritual armor. And that may seem a little hard for us to get up and put on our street clothes every day and go about our business. That may seem difficult for us to really gird ourselves against what we may be experiencing in our lives and in the world. It takes courage, and it takes conviction before we arrive in those situations. The reason you wear protection is in anticipation of what may come, right? That's why you put it on. But what happens if the assault comes before you're prepared, before you're protected? It does you no good. So we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to be spiritually armed each and every day. And we never know when that test may come. For John McCain, it came one day when he was shot down. And in him landing in a lake, both of his arms were broken. He sunk to the bottom and fought his way back to the surface. He was captured and he was broken. Physically, he was broken. And 3 years into his captivity in the Hanoi Hilton, they finally realized who his daddy was. A 3-star admiral, and they offered him release. And broken as he was, he said, "I will not accept it. I will keep faith with those who are here." He had prepared for that day. It wasn't something that was just pop, it's here. Spiritually, he was ready. He had the courage and he had the conviction to be able to stand against the evil that was presenting itself to him at that time. And so we all face our individual trials. And are we as prepared for what may come to us as well? How do we protect ourselves from spiritual harm? First is we stand in courage and conviction. We stand. Not just now, but every day, we stand again. And even when it is hard, even when we are bent, even when we are broken, we stand because it is God who raises us up. We let truth bind us together and hold us firm like the belts around a Roman tunic. We let truth guide us and contain us and strengthen us and bring all those other parts of us together. And we know what truth is because truth is the Word of God. That is what truth is. And if we have any problem with that, read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. The Word is God. And the Word is Jesus Christ. We let righteousness through Christ protect our hearts. And we realize that that which guards us is not due to ourselves. It's not our own body. It's not our own doing. It is through Christ that we are made right before God. That righteousness which we claim is ours only before Christ has given it to us. We wear shoes not to tarry, but to travel, to stay in movement, so that we may be living examples of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs to hear it. And we let our faith overlap. We cover each other's gaps. We extend our faith and overlap with others, and in that, our faith is impenetrable. And I'll tell you, there's days where I need that from you because my faith fails me. but I can't tell you how much it strengthens me and encourages me to know that someone's faith is going to overlap mine. Maybe that's true for you too. We let the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ protect our minds. And we understand that in today's fast-paced, chaotic world, we are susceptible to spiritual concussion. And we need to watch out for that with each other. We have to be willing to have somebody say, "You're off your spiritual game today," right? What are coaches doing now with players? Jason, what are they doing? If somebody takes a hard hit, what do? And you go through the what? Concussion protocol, right? Concussion protocol. What about a spiritual concussion protocol? Where we love each other enough to talk to each other about what we're observing. And then we need to let the power and the protecting presence of the Holy Spirit burn and cleanse. You're literally playing with fire. Holy fire. And that holy fire is something that we cling to and that we pray dwells within us. But be careful what you pray for, because it will open you up. It will cleanse you, and it will bring you into a new wholeness of being. And when that happens, when someone speaks with truth and conviction in the Spirit, you can feel it. You know it when you see it. And there's no denying it. But we try to deny it. Roman soldiers projected an identity based upon what they wore, right? Was there any doubt of who that individual was when they walked down the street? Their armor projected their identity. And so the writer of Ephesians says, we should be the same. Our identity should be those things. Truth. Righteousness. Openness to the Holy Spirit. Being willing to get up and go for God. All of these things become part of who we are. And we should not for an instant try to hide that identity. We need to have the courage to stand up in Christ and protect against the wiles of the world. And it's not us that gives us that strength. It's God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the second century, Christians had a choice to take up arms against Rome and fight, or they could simply rely upon the indwelling strength of God in their lives. And in that era, thousands of Christians were rounded up and sent to the Colosseum and to other places and were killed by animals and gladiators for sport. And they died singing. They died praying and thanking God for all things in the very midst of their death. That's strength. That's courage. And that's the power of Christ. And so we too go into a world that oftentimes wants to attack and defame us. How will you wear your armor of God this week? How will you stand up for Christ and let your true identity as a Christ follower be known? What choices will you make to serve others instead of yourself.